Hello, Trevor. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Sue. Extremely well. Extremely well.
Good. So this is now going to be your last program this year, and you'll be back again in March of next year. So it's just really ending your thoughts on the end of this season, how you thought everything went. Did you grow what you wanted to grow? And just what we can do to tidy up through the winter. So the microphone is now yours, Trevor.
Thank you very much. A pleasure. Well, actual done in September, we'll kick off with that. As the weather was extremely kind to us, we had the rain, we had the sun and the warmth. I had a week playing golf, so that was garden free, I hasten to add. But the harvesting continued aplenty, and the French beans were astronomical and still are, I hasten to add, and will be well into, well, certainly to the middle of October and to the first frosts. Removing the spent matter as you go along is a key, not only in September, but is key throughout the next month or so. Because as things die down, vegetation needs to be removed from all your growing matter, whether it's in your borders, in your tubs, or actually in the garden. You do need to get rid of those so that it doesn't fester in the ground over winter. The watering continued in September, certainly for the first 3 weeks where the weather was extremely warm. You needed to keep not so much the tomatoes, but certainly the chilies in the greenhouse. And obviously with that, you needed to keep the greenhouse ventilated well, even at night with what the temperatures were we were receiving. And I was still feeding tomatoes up until the middle of September, when the crop, I think, suffered from the fact I hadn't put plans ahead for somebody to come in and water my plants whilst I was away. And I think they got annoyed with that, and they haven't produced so much in recent weeks. In fact, towards the end of this month, I have now removed 5 of the 7 plants, and the green tomatoes that were on those ones that I've removed, I put into paper bags, because that is what I've learnt is the easiest way, certainly for myself, to ripen the green tomatoes. They have been in there for the last 4 or 5 days, so we check them every couple of days just to see how they're coming along. But with the tomato bind, I dug them out of their containers, cut up the bind, put it onto the compost heap, broke up the matter in the pots, and have spread it on the garden. Latterly, I will put some of it in the compost heap to allow another layer of soil, spent compost, and then some grass and so on and so forth. Deadheading is continuing, although I have to say the dahlias are now fading somewhat. These are the dahlias that are in the tubs, not the ones that are in my borders, which are continuing to flower. The ones in the tubs, when I remove them, and I have emptied two tubs already, I will not save the corms at the bottom. I think they're called corms, or they could be tubers, but I will not save those. I grew those from seed last year, and I can do that again this year. Otherwise, I shall be storing some of my main dahlias over winter in the greenhouse, so there's no need to have a full greenhouse of roots and stuff. Mowing lawns. Now, the mowing carries on, and I have mowed and edged regularly my front and back lawns, although it might take a bit of a rest at the moment, given that there is a little bit of a fuel issue, and perhaps that's not the most urgent thing to do. But I have fed and weeded with an application of pellets the lawns, and watered them in, and it's showing showing signs of working because the moss has gone black and the grass around it is getting greener. And that was the whole idea. But when you do something like that, you really have to ensure that, A, you put the right measure as per the guidelines on the box onto your lawn. You can get spreaders that will dispense the amount prescribed, or you measure out a square meter, because it normally comes in square meters, the dosage. Measure that one out and then get an eye for it and do the old-fashioned way of broadcasting, picking that amount up in your hand and broadcasting it over the area that you know is one square meter. If it doesn't rain within 2 days, I tend to err on the side of caution. And if it's a day and a half, and it hasn't rained, then water it in. If you don't water it in, there's a strong chance that it will scorch the grass that is there. And it won't only just get rid of the moss, it will possibly harm your grass as well. So water it in well. And then when you come to cut it, it's best to rake out the moss, the blackened moss, pick it up with a lawnmower, whether it's a push one or a petrol one, whatever. Do not put the clippings, the first two or three clippings, onto the compost. Put it straight into your green or brown waste bin, because that does not do your compost any favours because of all the material that has killed the moss. And thereafter, it might look a bit bare, but given over the winter, it should come up looking really grand for the spring. I did, prior to that, did a little bit of scarifying. And I did that. You can do it two ways. You can have a scary fire, which I have, but I let that stay in the shed. There is the rake method, and I've got a pull rake on wheels specifically for scarifying. And of course, I forgot the third one. And that is, you can rake it along with a fork. But I did it with my little mechanical rake, and it just draws up some of the thatch. I didn't want to go too deep, so that was ideal for this year. And then you go along and cut it. And ideally, you would cut it to get the most out of your cuttings. You cut it the opposite way to what you've been cutting it throughout the summer. And from then on, with the lawns, it's going to be a case of using the fork to aerate it. Now, that will come in October, November, and even December, providing it's not too wet. And I certainly don't do it when it's frosty. But what I'm trying to say is, you need to keep your lawn in tip-top condition. Yes, it's going to have a rest, but aeration is a key through the winter months. And as I said, the easiest way and to get exercise is to do it with a garden fork. One other thing regarding putting stuff onto the lawn to kill the moss, the weed and feed, is when you've done it and before you've watered it, do not walk on it, because that will compact and that will enhance scorch, because it means that the stuff is getting closer to the ground and you're pressing down on it. So avoid walking on it until you've watered it in. As I said, with the runner beans, they're still picking prolifically. So the succession growing of runner beans or French beans, has paid dividends, especially with the weather as it's been. The runner beans are sliding off a bit. And what I shall try to do is let some hang there for a while to see if they will. I'd like to save some seeds, but depending on what the weather is, I shall let them get bulbous. And if they really need to be papery when they're ready to come off the bind. But if it's a bit slower, you can cut what you need off and hang them in a greenhouse and let them dry that way. They are ready when they become papery, and then you can take the physical beans out of the pod. A first for me this year of growing is kale, and I actually cut the first kale in mid-September, which it looked very healthy and is very healthy. And I learned that you cut the tops off first, similar to early purple sprouting, and then cook it in the same way. I steam my vegetables, and that allows that not to shrink so much as if you just put vegetables into water. But it was very delicious, and there's plenty there. So I shall, not sure it's pick and come again, but it's certainly a good addition to the garden. And I will indeed grow it again next year, and I'll come on about next year's planning later on. Courgettes and cucumbers have finally bit the dust. I think they suffered a little bit from the lack of water. I have had a good crop. The courgettes, I didn't grow so many this year, but they have been good. I wouldn't say exceptional, but they have been good. Cucumbers, which I do not like, but I like growing them, they've been okay. Nothing exceptional. What has been exceptional, and will still be exceptional, is marrows. And you always learn something, and I learned something this week as well, as I picked my 25th marrow. I know it's not the best of vegetable, and it's quite bland unless you stuff it with sausage meat and the like. But B, how it grows so quickly. I had four plants, and I've had all of those, and there is still some out there. Obviously, that they will decline, but lesson and note to self is don't grow four next year, grow two. Rhubarb, well, I know I go on about rhubarb, one of my favourite vegetables, but whilst you're not picking any of it, you are gradually removing the leaves as they go limp and go yellow, and it'll come to a stage in early October that you will have removed all the leaves, which is great. And then you will be left with the crowns. Now, some of them might be exposed, and I'll come on to what I'm going to do with those next month. Cabbage stalks, I dug out the ground to get rid of those. Now, I put the stalks into my green waste bin. I didn't. It was too woody, if you will, to go onto the compost heap. Potatoes and onions. Now, whilst I've dug those up some while ago, they are being stored in my garage, which is at the right temperature, in bags, and I ensure, well, there's netting for the onions and paper sacks or hessian sacks for the potatoes. But as I'd had a bit of problem earlier in the season lifting the potatoes, and there was having a bit of blight, I'm checking weekly to ensure that there is no damaged spuds. Otherwise, if they're left and you're not regularly going into the bag to use them, because I've got two bags, then they can damage or infect neighbouring potatoes. And where you might lose one, you've ended up losing half a dozen. So it is worthwhile looking at those on a weekly basis, and your onions. If you've hung some onions up, like I have in my shed, I've now taken those down, incidentally, because the shed, even with the door open, was not getting enough ventilation, and indeed was becoming too warm. And I had a few that I had to throw away because they got too soft. So that's what you've got to look out for, is any nasty badness, whatever you like to call it, in your onions. If they're going soft, just get rid of them. Now, I have froze some of my French beans, but I've got to the stage now where the freezers are creaking. And so I have been giving away a lot of my vegetables this year, and that is no problem, because that's what I enjoy. But I'm not going to freeze any more. The piccalilli that I made at the end of July is now ready, and beginning of August is now ready for consumption. It's normally about 5-6 weeks for it to mature, settle down, and then it will be ready. So I've had a couple of jars that have gone out the household so far. I await feedback to see what it is like. But yeah, the pickled onions, they take a little longer. But you're waiting, obviously, for the spiced vinegar to ingress wholly into the onions that you've done. And it is in pickling vinegar, not just any old vinegar. Saving seeds. Now, it's a height of the season. As we started it last month and we carried on in September, saving seeds. It's a great feeling when you can save your little seeds and say, they were mine. Make sure that you label up little preferable, well, not preferable, you have to have paper bags or paper little envelopes and label them up. Just label them up as to what they are, when you picked them. Don't have to be religious on the date, but just say, nasturtiums, September, mine. And that's what I put on there, so I know exactly what is there. And if you've got different kind of seeds, in like with Nicotiana, where you've got a white one and you've got a purple one, make sure that you put what colour it is on there, because before you know where you are, the crop will have been spent. You knew there was Nicotiana there, but you couldn't remember what colours they were. It's all part of the planning for next year. Carrots, I'm harvesting both in the ground and in the troughs. The trough ones are smaller, but then they're so easy to grow. And again, I finished one trough the other week, and that spent compost went onto the compost heap. So you're recycling as you go along. My two hanging basses, which were purely there for decorative reasons, on the greenhouse, on the main greenhouse, I've removed everything except the ivy, added some more compost, and obtained some winter pansies just to give it a little bit of colour. As you look at, I can't see them at the moment because the runner beans are in the way, but it won't be long before the garden will become a lot barer. I removed the trough of spring onions. They weren't bad this year. It was the second ones I'd had. I seem to be able to do those better than growing them in the ground. And where the courgettes were, two of the plants, courgettes, I dug it over, put some grow more in there, and then planted out some wallflowers that I'd recently obtained, just to give some colour in the winter. I mean, they won't bloom until the spring, but it just gives some alternative matter in there over the winter. Beetroot is coming towards the end, or my beetroot is in any way. The garden beetroot is finished. I just have a tub of beetroot. So when that is expended, that tub, I will take out half the compost and make that ready. I'll try and cover it and then make that ready for, strangely enough, my first early potatoes next year. And the greenhouse. Well, the greenhouse is, or greenhouses, are becoming not empty, but you're removing stuff gradually. And now is the time to start the clearing up process. You're not going to do it all, not by a long chalk, but when your pots become available and they've dried out, just give them a little clean. And if they're the bigger pots, ensure underneath where they fold over to make sure you get like an old toothbrush or whatever brush to ensure that you remove all the dirt and everything underneath, because that is a place where pests will harbour. I tend to later on, I'll probably mention it now, is that I wash, once I've cleaned all the dirt, I put them in just a warm water and disinfectant solution, scrub them down, and at the moment they're being put outside to dry. But when the weather becomes more inclement, then you'll have the room in the greenhouse to put the pots on the staging. So therefore, you will let them dry that way on racks. And it's a good opportunity then to look at your stock of pots, because there's always going to be some damaged ones and everything. So get rid. Now's the time to get rid. you don't need to clean out totally the greenhouse yet, because you've still got plants in there. I certainly have got chilies. The melons haven't grown the biggest this year, but I will have another go next year. I've got three at the moment. Whether they're indeed edible, I don't know, but we will find out, because as the warmth goes and the light goes, then the chances of them getting any bigger are really small, very small indeed.
Okay, we're going to have just a break now, Trevor. We're going into a commercial break and then we'll continue on the way back. Welcome back to Gardener Diary for September, and Trevor is going to give you the advice for the winter, because this is the last one of this year. So Trevor, you were almost finished, I think, in the part one about what you've been doing and what have you been preparing. I think you were finishing all about your garage, your greenhouses.
Indeed so. I will continue on that theme, is that to tidy everything up as you go, because there's still plenty of time in October to still light. In fact, the clocks don't go back until the last day of the month, so that is quite a way away. Yes, you'll lose some of the light naturally and gradually, and it will probably become cooler, but that doesn't mean to say the jobs are going to go away. So tidy up as you go along, whether you're in the beds. It won't be long, maybe the end of October, where I should be looking to cut back the peonies now that they have dying back. Well, basically, they're recharging, and that takes quite a bit of room up. Also, the dahlias in the garden has been a good show this year, but they have taken over somewhat. But I won't remove. I will do an experiment by removing half and storing in the greenhouse and leaving the other half in the ground. Obviously, cut them right down. But I won't do that until the first frost, because dahlias do enjoy a frost. I don't know quite what it does, but the advice is do not cut back your dahlias to the ground until the first frosts. Let them have that cold spell. And then we will be putting stuff into boxes, into the greenhouse, and see how we go from there. I've done, and I will continue throughout October, to do some bulb planting as the tubs become available. And that's where I put most of my bulbs, and I've got quite a few tubs. I will be emptying the tubs and then replenishing with fresh compost, half fresh compost. I will leave half of it in and then fresh compost. And this year I'm going to try and do again, as I did about 3 or 4 years ago, is to do some layering of bulbs with tulips at the bottom, daffodils and crocus and whatever else I've got in my stock. But then I will then on the top put either pansies or I can't even pronounce it, clickermans. And that is what we will do. It just gives a winter show to everything, and I should get some more winter pansies. But I do not put bulbs into the borders. That will need really cleaning out. And then in the spring, once I've emptied the compost, and that is something else, just going off a tangent, it will only be a month's time when I will be closing down. It's called closing down the main compost heap. Now, what that will mean is I have got spent compost bags. I cut them down the side so that the inside, which is black, will be against the compost matter, and I will put about half a dozen of those on there and then weigh it down with planks, whatever I'm laying my hands on, and that will be there for about 5 months until the matter will reduce, but it will become lovely compost for the spring. I have another grey bin which I will put anything that comes up between closing down and reopening in the spring, so that I will then transfer that into the other bin. the water butts during October, I will ensure that apart from one close to or by the conservatory, which is warm, I will ensure that they are empty. Because the last thing I want, and I've had it happen before, that over the winter, when you've had water in a butt and you've had a heavy frost or a hard frost, it can crack the plastic water bin. And that's something you don't really want. More to the point, it's extra expense. And then you can just give it a little wash round with a mild disinfectant, and you can buy stuff to clean out water butts. It just needs a little refreshing. And I've got 7, so 6, I hope, will be cleaned. As we move into October and more, my 2 big troughs will become available. Once they're empty, I will put fresh compost in those, and I will then get some garlic from the garden centre, garlic bulbs. I normally buy 2 bulbs and then break them into the cloves and then plant them into the troughs. And I had a good crop this year. So, and they are winter hardy. Just put the cloves in, recommended distance. And I always like to cover with just a bit of wire mesh, just to keep any birds from pulling them out or anything of that nature. On the brassicas, I will ensure that the yellow leaves that will be falling down will be picked up and discarded. And on brassicas, yes, there is, I've still got netting covers on there, but as we go further into the winter, there's 2 things. Or when winter comes along, we've only just gone into autumn, we will need to ensure that they are staked properly, because they are now getting, the broccoli and the sprouts are getting taller. So if you don't stake them, they could suffer from wind, rock and bending when we get more seasonal weather, if you will. So do that with you can do it with stakes or canes, ensure that they're upright. And if you need netting now more than anything else, certainly going through the winter when food becomes more scarce. I don't have too much problem with pigeons, but pigeons will like your brassicas. So you may need to put taller canes in to help the netting cover everything, otherwise they might be poking through and they'll be pecking at them. As I say, with saving seeds, you'll be saving seeds for a little while. Once they've dried off on the plants, I've got some larkspur this year. I've got Nicotiana. These are new ones from what I'd harvested last month. And one called Morning Glory, which is a delightful plant, which is so easy to save the seeds. It's a climbing plant, and you can get what they call a heavenly blue or morning glory delta, I think it's called, or star glazer, and it's a deep purple, and it just climbs up whatever you put. I've got two climbing frames. And they are a real delight. And the saving of those seeds is even better, because they're so reliable in coming up the following season. Now, I did say about the runner beans. Now, they will come to a halt, especially if the weather comes to a stage of being inclement. And all good things come to an end. And when I feel that it's time to remove those pods that may produce dried beans, but I really need to cut down the bind, I will not cut it down in one go. I will go along the bottoms, 4 inches from the bottom, and cut above what they call the node, which is a little bulbous thing. I mentioned it quite a few months ago, which holds nitrogen. So if you cut above there, and then you'll dig those, what is left, back into the ground later on, that does the ground a power of good. But the other reason for cutting it off there is A, you keep the node, but B, leave it for 2 weeks when you've cut. And what it will do is the runner bean foliage will wither, and it will wither considerably. So if you cut down your runner beans, say, in the first 2 weeks of October and put them straight in the bin, then it would take up a lot of room. But if you allow them to wither, it would take up not even a third of the room. And if you are going to put that matter onto the compost, you really need to chop it up more finely, because obviously it is quite tall, and you compost is best when small pieces go on there that it can break down easily. So I will, when I cut the bind 4 inches from the bottom, I will then leave it for 2 weeks and watch it wither away, and then remove that, and then obviously remove the stakes, clean them up, and store them for another season. Swiss chard. Swiss chard is something I'm cultivating at the moment. I had my first Swiss chard this week, actually, or the back end of September, with its different coloured stems. It was delightful. There was purple, there was yellow, and there was pink. Delightful. The hedge, I shall be giving the hedge a final trim in the next couple of weeks, making sure that it's at the level that I want it to be, and we'll discuss that with my neighbour as well, because things do grow up and up, and we seem to have got into a routine of, when it comes to this time of the year or next month, 6 weeks, we will look to see what height we would like it, put stakes up there, and then try to cut it accordingly. Now, during November, you will obviously, depending on what you've got, if you've got quite a few trees around, then you will be getting quite a bit of leaves fall down. Now, if you want to just get rid of the leaves, that's absolutely fine, but ensure that you do clear as many leaves as possible, because, again, that is another source of potential disease if they are left on their own, on the ground. Now, apart from getting rid of them, you can save it to create leaf mould. The only problem with leaf mould is that it takes a long time to form. Now, I tend to pick up the leaves where I can and just have 3 black bin liners, make holes in the bin liner, put the leaves in, dampen it down a bit, and just leave it there. I'm leaving it there for a year. They say the best leaf mould is actually 2 years, but no, I will have just a year. And that brings you on to when you start clearing a lot of your stuff in November, if you've got the ground you're doing it, or whether you've got raised beds, you really ought to be doing some winter digging. Now, you need to clear as much stuff off the ground as you can, weeds and everything. Also, don't do it all in one go, but do it in stages, otherwise you'll break your back. Dig roughly, and if possible, put some mixture of compost and manure onto the what they call it spits. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But you have a spade, you put it down, and that's known as a spit width. So all you need to do is just throw the soil up on one, and then do a row, put the compost and the manure in, and then the following row you will put the spit on top, or the spadeful on top of that manure. Now, when it comes to manure, the best, so I'm told, is cow manure, but that is quite sticky and hard to spread. So horse manure is my choice. And when I say horse manure, it has to be well rotted. It's no good it doesn't do it any favours in the ground if it is that it is known as being green, but another word for green is being fresh. As a rule, it would take between from the field new manure to be used on the garden 3 to 4 months, and that will allow it to break down the freshness of it into more palatable for its work on the garden. Now, other things to do is really give you, over the winter, give your greenhouse a real good clean. This time of the year, when things, you would have removed the shading, possibly now or in the next 2 or 3 weeks, so the light gets into whatever's left. So you can start, once you've removed the shading, if you had that form of shading, some people might have just had a covering as opposed to paint that I had. I will clean that, and then I will clean the outside. And I will use a disinfectant mix in the guttering, up in the eaves and everything on the outside. Give it a good clear. And then I will do the same on the inside once I've decluttered the greenhouse, and I really mean declutter the greenhouse of anything that is growing, and that's me chilies and peppers, and then get rid of stuff that I've probably hoarded that I don't need. But you really possibly need a scrubbing brush. I do not grow things in borders in greenhouse, either of my greenhouses. Some people do, so there's a different maintenance for that. But I will scrub the concrete path inside, again, disinfectant. And it is just amazing where bugs and insects will gather or find a home over the winter, because they want to snuggle down, and it's nice in the greenhouse. So you have a good clear up. I've got two, so I'll do that. And the other thing over the course of winter is your sheds. Now, we all know it all gets cluttered. Again, one of my sheds is where I've got the pots, the trays, the canes, you name it, it's all in there. And you do have to be a bit ruthless and say, get rid of it. So that is my intention. Whether it comes to fruition or not is something completely different.
Okay, we're just going to have a little pause here, please, Trevor, and then we'll come back shortly after the break with part three. Welcome back to Trevor's Gardening Diary on this Friday evening, the last one for this year. And Trevor is just finishing what we're going to be doing now over the winter months. So fire away, Trevor.
Right. One of the most, in my opinion, one of the most important matters to address now and over the winter is the planning for next season. Because as we look out of the windows now and we see everything, a lot of things still in bloom, it won't be long before that won't be there. And certainly from the point of view of vegetables, if you hadn't done it last year for this season, then you need to really just have a plan. A4 bit of paper will be fine, so that you can encourage rotation of crops. So you know you've got your beans here, your potatoes there, and if possible, you try to do a three-way rotation. Now, a lot of people don't have the ground to do that. And it is easier. I haven't got them, but it's easier if you've got raised beds as well, because you could probably mark the beds in the corner with what it is there. But it is vital that you plan out what you want, ideally, to have in the garden next year, because it will have a benefit of what fertilizer liming that you put on those particular areas. Certain plants do not like lime, so you don't do it wholemeal across the whole plot. You would dedicate an area where you are definitely going to grow that crop next year. So just get yourself a bit of paper. I mean, I do mine on my computer as well. And also your flowers, what you had. Yes, you might know what you had, where you had them, but just do that roughly. And importantly for them, in my opinion, is to say what colours they were, so that I know I'm not going to have yellows and whites all together. I'm going to have a mixture. But it's all right. I mean, the other obvious way of doing it is taking photographs of it. and you've got that readily at hand as well, and say, oh right, there, that's what that looked like. Now I want to change that, or I want to do this, that, and the other. So planning is vital, and you can do that over the winter months, the actual carrying out that. But take a photograph of what you've got now, and then you can literally sit in the warm and work it out. The rhubarb and mint. Now, I divided my mint last year, and that's something you can do in the fall as well. And say the winter, not so much. So you can divide mint. With mint, just give it a, take it out, give it a shake of soil, and just go down with a sharp knife. And then you've got two pots for the price of one. And with rhubarb, I shall be doing the same of that in late October. Just cut down, because there won't be any leaves, just cut down through, and there, and it revigorates the rhubarb as well. But then you've got some to give away to other people, and that's how things move on. So basically, clear up for the end of the season, plan for next season, and before you know where you are, you will have started. Necessarily with chilies, you can start in January and February. But one thing I've noticed in the shops, when you're wanting to replenish your seeds, some people do it online, I like to go and have a look, is that garden centres come to the end of the year and they want to get rid of the old stock and bring in the new season. Now, that old stock doesn't mean to say it's out of date or anything like that. They just need to get rid of it. And you can have some good deals, three for the price of two, and so on and so forth. So I always look out for that. Always check the dates on the back. It's no good if it's not to go into, if it's within a year, then that's fine. If not, then don't entertain it. But you've always got your own seeds to go back on. You've always got your own seeds to go back on. And now I've got some questions. So not too many, because people are turning off in terms of doing gardening.
Yes.
One question was, should I cover my brassicas over the winter? Well, I think I've covered that earlier, to say, yes, ideally do cover them, because you don't want to get mullered by the birds. Should I divide mint? I think I've just touched on that. Yes, it's also important, in my view, with mint, is to keep it in a container, because mint has a nasty habit of exploring its surrounding ground. In other words, you can't control it. Once it takes hold, it just keeps going and going. And which kind of manure? Well, I think I've touched on that. The horse manure, if it's got straw in it from where the horse has had bedding, and it's come straight out the stable, that is good, because the straw will help as much as anything else. And can any veg be sown now for spring harvest? I think I'd said earlier, back in August, that I do not overwinter, other than I've got parsnips and brassicas, but they all started. They have a very long grow season. But you can put in overwintering onions and broad beans. Now, they are specific for the conditions. And also early maturing peas, providing they're under cloches. So you can carry on, but you've got to look after them, but don't expect anything spectacular until the spring. But they're there and they've been cultivated for that purpose. And I think that's it, Sue, that comes to mind.
Lovely.
other than the fact of keeping warm.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Trevor, for all the advice you've given us this year. Thank you for the produce that you've given me. I must admit that the runner beans were absolutely gorgeous, as were the French beans. The curly kale was absolutely lovely as well, except that when I was eating it one day, I obviously hadn't washed it properly because I found a couple of little cooked caterpillars in there. So that was a bit of a shock. The tomatoes, the piccalilli. What else have you given me? Rhubarb. I'd love to have some chard. You haven't handed me any chard. It's all been rather delightful, and I look forward to all again happening next year. So I wish you all the best for the winter. Keep warm, keep safe, and we'll see you again next March, Trevor.
It's been a pleasure doing these monthly programs, Sue. It is a passion that I love and will continue to love. So everyone take care. Enjoy what's coming in the festive season. We have to say that now. And I'll speak to you again in the spring.
Lovely. Thank you, Trevor. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.